Take your Bibles, please, and join me at Isaiah chapter 41. And then I'll have you to turn to Psalm 54 and verse 4. Psalm 54 and verse 4. I want to look at just one verse of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. And then we'll look at our passage in Psalm 54 and verse 4, where we'll spend most of our time together. Look at verse 10, please. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Keep your place there, and then turn with me over to Psalm 54 and verse 4. Psalm 54 and verse 4. Listen as I read there. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Or rather, the translation should read, the Lord is the upholder of my soul. The Lord is the upholder of my soul. Father in heaven, I thank you for these two passages of Scripture. And I pray, Father, that we might find our strength and solace in your word. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you give us strength not only within but without. You sturdy us with your mighty hand. And I pray that you would encourage us tonight from your word. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I spent the afternoon at my doctor's office, not because I necessarily chose to stay as long as I did. It was because they were running behind. And I got there early because they said, arrive 30 minutes early. And so I was in there by myself for a while because they were not back from lunch. So finally, they started trickling in one by one. Oh, hi, Mr. Brainerd. How are you doing? It's going to be a little bit of a delay today. And I said, okay. And so I sat there and I sat there. I talked with a couple of the folks that were in there. And then finally, about 1:20 or so, I got called back where I proceeded to wait for another hour. And it's always fun staring at a screen that's rotating all the ads from the pharmaceutical companies and reading about all the horrible, terrible diseases that you can get if you take their drugs. I get shocked by that, you know. Some people have been known to die from this, you know, as they go through that. And that says, I don't want to take anything. I'll just die of whatever I have and be happy to do that rather than taking all these medications that's going to speed up the process. So anyway, I finally got seen. But as I came back out, there was a lady sitting in the foyer. I was waiting to pay my bill. They said, please go wait some more, which I waited another 20 minutes to pay after that. So I didn't get out of there until almost 3 o'clock. And I was sitting in there, and there was a lady sitting there, and she looked familiar to me. I sat there, and she said, do I know you? And I said, well, I think I know you. I said, I'm Todd Brainerd with Gospel Projects. And then she said, oh. And I said, well, I hope you're doing well today. I was very kind and so forth. Then her husband stepped in, and that's the reason why they were there. He has some serious health problems going on and had to see the endocrinologist. And so we began to talk for just a few minutes. And she said, well, how are you doing physically? You're here at the endocrinologist. I said, well, I have diabetes, and I'm up for my second checkup of the year, and we talked a little bit. And then she said, well, I have a pulse. And then she proceeded to go down this long list of all of the things that she's been battling and so forth like that. And she went on for a good while as I was waiting. And then, Mr. Brainerd, would you come up, please, to pay? And so I got to slip off. So I went over there and paid. And I came back and I told her, I said, but isn't it wonderful to know that God can take care of us and strengthen us even though when we're weak? And she just kind of looked at me with a quizzical look. And I said, keep that thought in mind. The Lord is the sustainer of human beings. Whether you're saved or unsaved, God's the one that rules the earth. And if we look to Him, if we become His child and we look to Him, God will take care of us. And I just left her with that thought, and then I went ahead and left the doctor's office. And I got to thinking on this, and this verse of Scripture from Psalm 54 was just something that I read recently. And I said, you know, I'm going to share that tonight. Because it was such an encouragement to me that God strengthens us two ways. He strengthens us within, but He also strengthens us without. And I want us to see in these two passages of Scripture how that's so. And by the way, if you read through the Psalms and if you read through the writings specifically in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, you find this pattern where God is our strength internally and externally. And I want to show you in a couple of passages tonight where this is so. Look at verse 4 again of Psalm 54. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Or rather, the Lord is the upholder of my soul. It's interesting there that the word helper is a word that you may be familiar with, but you're not, probably hadn't heard it in a while. You ever heard of the word Ebenezer? All right. Have you heard of the latter part, Ezer? The word Ezer is often translated help. And it also has this idea, and I found this interesting. I looked this Hebrew word up today, just trying to do some research, and there's almost 25 different ways that it's used in the Old Testament. But one of the ways in which Ezer is used in the Psalms is very interesting. And I found this, and I'll read this. The word Ezer in the Psalms is often used as one who comes alongside to help. The New Testament equivalent is the word advocate. That idea of the one who comes alongside, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit. But technically, the idea of Ezer is one that comes along whenever you're beginning to stumble or fall, and somebody comes up and helps shore you up, stabilize you, or grabs your hand. All right? We've all seen people. I saw just today they released a video from a police cam of a sheriff's officer who, with his partner, saw a lady who was sitting in one of those mobile chairs on the side of the road. Her battery had gone out. They pulled over behind her. They couldn't get it going. Didn't know how to fix it. So one of the deputies said, where do you live? She said, I live about a mile up the road here. And he said, I'll push you home. And so the video shows him pushing, and the other a deputy that was with him driving behind him. And I want to tell you something, pushing one of those things is not easy. I mean, it's got the electric motor on there, it's got the weight of the person, plus the weight of the battery that was on there. And this guy, boy, it was out in the blazing sun, and he pushed her all the way to the house. Now, that's what I call an easer. All right? That's the idea. One who comes along to shore up. Now, folks, there is something wonderful about our God. He is one who comes along to help us when we're teetering and we're about to fall. You ever experienced that in your Christian life where it just seemed like that it was just one after another of things happening? Boy, there's been times like that in my life that I've seen that it just seems like it was one thing right after another. And he said, Lord, when is it going to stop? Demands on your time and people that are ill and sick and having to visit with them, and then other things happening. It just seemed like they just pile on. Our God is the one that just comes along and says, just hold on to me. I tell you what, I'll take your hand and I'll hold you. I will straighten you. I will keep you from falling. That's the idea. But then it goes on even deeper in this verse to the next word. Notice this, please, in verse 4, the Lord is the upholder of my soul. Now, you would think that the word upholder would sound like what I just described, right? Upholder gives the idea of someone that comes and holds you up, but it's not that idea at all. It's actually, in the Latin Vulgate, it's the word pater. You know what pater means? Father. It's the word Abba in the Hebrew language that's used here. The Lord is my Father. But it's interesting, Abba is often translated in different ways in the Hebrew. And it's translated oftentimes in the Psalms. Pater is translated Father, one who has infused His own Spirit within His Son. Now think about that for just a moment. The Father who has infused His Spirit into the Son. I got to work with Dad yesterday. We had to take the station wagon down there to have it looked at because we couldn't get it fixed out here in the parking lot. So I helped Dad. We loaded it up and towed it down there to Avalon Boulevard to drop it off at one of those diagnostic places. And I was thinking, as Dad and I were working, my mind went all the way back to middle school. Dad decided that we were going to rebuild the motor in our station wagon. I don't know why it is. 40 years later, we're still working on station wagons. Okay? Now, they haven't made station wagons since when? 95. And that's the year of my dad's station wagon, all right? And all I could think about was that time when we pulled the motor out of that old 65 Ford station wagon. And we picked it up, we put it on our picnic table. And we proceeded to strip it down, to get it down to the bare block. Dad took it in so they could redo the pistons and put new rings on there and bore out the cylinders and all that kind of stuff. And Roger and I were with my dad the whole time working on that motor. He said, all right, take the fuel pump off. And he showed us where the fuel pump was. We took it off. And then whenever we got the block back, we built it back up again, and we helped our dad put it back in that station wagon. And that was a project. Then we did his truck a few years later when we were in high school. We pulled out the motor in that, and we worked together. We worked on Dad's old Mustangs that he had for a while. And we got to work together. And yesterday, after a number of years break, I got to work with my dad. And I have to tell you, I was a little bit amazed. My dad jumped down there on the ground, was crawling up underneath that thing. And I'm squatting down really slow. I was going down on this knee, which is my tender knee. I'm getting down there kind of slow, and my dad's jumping down. He's 84 years old. But I thought about this. Dad imparted to me a little bit of knowledge of cars as I was growing up, middle school, high school. He expected us to change our own oil. And we changed the oil in the station wagon and the truck and whatever vehicles. Dad didn't know about Jiffy Lube. Still doesn't. Okay? I said, Dad, yeah, cheap, cheap, cheap. That's what Dad always does. You know, I said, why don't you just take it to Walmart and have them change it? Cheap, 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 cheap. So he's not interested in that. But he infused in my brother and I his spirit. All right? He infused into us his spirit. Isn't that what a father's for? Isn't that what a father's for? And you know what God does? God, in all of his magnificence and glory, infuses himself in his children. I don't know if I've ever really thought about that. I've been a Christian since I was 14 years of age, and it just really dawned on me today as I was looking at these words when I got back from the doctor's office and looked at this verse of Scripture that I've known for a long time, but looked at the words. God strengthens us without, but He also infuses Himself into us. In other words, He strengthens us within. It's the idea of shoring up. That's what He does, not only without, but He also does it within. And when He infuses His Spirit, what He's doing is He's strengthening our spirit. What does the Bible say? The spirit of a man sustaineth him in his illness. You ever read that verse? That's been a verse of comfort that I've used many, many times over the years when dealing with folks that were sick or hospital visitation. I said, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have the great physician on your side right now. Because the Bible says that His Spirit is what strengthens us in our illness. The spirit of the man sustaineth him in his illness. If you have a spirit that's broken, boy, it's hard to get over sicknesses. But if you've got a will, a spirit that fights on, oh, how many times have we seen that in people that just fought through an illness and were able to come out on the other side? But with the Christian, you have the infused Spirit of God to strengthen your spirit to be able to go on for Him. Now, oftentimes we take inventory of our strength and we say, Lord, I don't have the strength to carry on. I find that I have not enough and I have less than what I need. Now, what can you do about that? Well, I'm going to take more Flintstone vitamins. That's what I'll do. Or I'm going to go on this special diet that I've been reading about, and I'm going to do that for a while. We try all these things, don't we? I had to listen to it today. How are you doing with your diet? And I got the long list of questions, you know, that twice a year lecture that you get on that. Are you eating things that are high in carbohydrates? Why don't I try to stay away from that? Have you had a chip in the last week? You know? And you're right. Well, I did have one the other day. You get the Andy Griffith treatment. You know, he used to do that to Barney. Yeah. Yeah, you get in trouble with your doctor. You can't lie when you do that. You know what? I'm thankful that we have a God whose interest in us is not just coming along the outside. He's infusing His Spirit on the inside. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you probably don't belong to Him. You know, this is one of the signs that you belong to Him. He not only comes along on the outside, but He's strengthening you on the inside. You've heard of the snowflake generation? I mean, the snowflake generation, they can't handle anything. Any kind of pressure, they got to have safe spaces. Colleges have put in these safe spaces, you know, where you can go and you can be safe, a little closet. And you go in there and they have soothing music that's playing, all right? Or you can change if you don't like that music and you need to get some rock and roll. You can change the channel if you want to. Whatever it will take for you so that you can be strengthened again. I'm going to tell you something. The Christian doesn't need that. The Christian doesn't need that. I find it very difficult to feel sorry for Christians. Now, maybe that's not the right heart, but knowing the God that we have, now think about this for just a moment. Knowing the God that we have, that is our advocate, who has provided us with His Holy Spirit, His precious Son, He's given to us everything that we need. Why are we struggling so? You know why? Because we're not resting in Him. We're choosing to do something else rather than resting in the One who strengthens without and within. Go back to the passage here in Isaiah for just a moment, and we'll close a little early because we're going to spend some extra time in prayer tonight. But look at verse 10. What's the injunction? Now, he's speaking to the Israelites here, the godly remnant of the Israelites, and he says to them, "Fear thou not." You know why we don't rest in the Lord? It's because we're afraid that things won't work out right, so we got to come up with a plan B. Why? Because we're afraid. What did he tell the disciples before he left this earth? Let not your heart be what? Troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. That was Jesus' words to his disciples before he ascended back into heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. What's the greatest struggle of human beings? Fear. Fear. And fear always leads to unbelief. Fear always leads to unbelief. That's why the Lord enjoined us, and don't be afraid. Because fear always leads to unbelief, and unbelief is the greatest of all sins. You say, well, I think homosexuality, and go down the little, blah, blah. No. I'll tell you the greatest sin, and I have this on the authority of Scripture, it's not believing God. Because that's what dooms sinners to a Christless hell. They don't believe God. It's not the sins you commit. It's your attitude of life not believing God. And so he says to this godly remnant here, fear thou not, for I am with thee. All right? Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. What does fear also lead to? Discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Maybe you go to the doctor, or maybe you have a bunch of bills that pile up at the end of the month. And you get discouraged. So what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to only eat crackers and water, and we'll make it somehow. Now, wait a minute. Is that? Be not dismayed, for I am with thee. Take your problems to the Lord. Rest in Him. Every problem. Not just some. We take the big ones to God. Okay, yeah, that's a big one. I'll take that to God. This is a little bit smaller. I'll handle this myself. You know what that creates? It creates a spirit of fear and distrust of God. Because you say, I'm not going to bother God with all my problems. Do you know your God is big enough to handle every one of them? And even the ones that you'll never foresee or know about? God's taking care of you. You ever had that close call in a vehicle going down the road and get cut off and could have been an accident? And God just kind of seemed to put a little buffer between you and the other car. Do you stop and thank Him? Lord, thank you for keeping that from happening. There are things that come our way that God just kind of shields and protects because He's with us every step of the way. God not only strengthens without, but God strengthens within. Notice this, please. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand. Do you see the word help and uphold again? Just like we saw in Psalm 54 and verse 4, same words. Same words. Help and uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Don't ever forget this now. Whenever you see the expression of the right hand of God, that's the strong hand. All right? The strong hand of God. That's the promise that He's given not only to Israel, but we see this repeated oftentimes in the New Testament. I was thinking of some other verses. Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. In the New Testament, for Gentiles, trusting in Jesus, God is our strength without, and He is our strength from within. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 2. And our song should always be, Thou, Lord, hast holden me. That comes from Psalm 73 and verse 23. These are beautiful pictures of how God takes care of His children. But I want to tell you something. You got to be His child. You got to be His child. Now, God, in His infinite mercy, often withholds His wrath from those that deserve it. You think about all the times before you were saved, how God shielded you to bring you to that day when you would confess Him. I've listened to preachers that have told stories about before they got saved. I think about Mel Trotter, one of my heroes. Most people don't know who Mel Trotter is, but he was a drunk. He was a scoundrel. But you know what? God spared his life over and over again as he stumbled in the streets of Chicago until one day he came to the Pacific Garden Mission. He heard a woman in there playing the organ. By the way, I believe that organ's still there. I think y'all went to the Pacific Garden Mission that was there, that old organ that's been there for many, many years. And Mel Trotter heard a hymn, and he recognized it because his mother used to sing it. He stumbled in. He had vomit all over his clothing from where he had been lying in the street, vomiting on himself. He listened to the preacher as best he could. At the end of it, he was sitting in the back there, still inebriated. The preacher came up to him and sat down beside him, smelling the awful, intense smell. And he said, Sir, why did you come in here? And with tears streaming down his face, Mel Trotter said, Because I heard my mother singing while the lady was playing the organ. And she was singing a song about the Lord and about the need of a sinner coming to the Lord. I forget what the hymn was, but those were the gist of his ideas. And I figured I needed to come in. And that preacher said, Let's go get cleaned up and I want to talk to you. Took him back. They got him showered off, gave him some clothes, and began to witness to him. It wasn't until the next night that Mel Trotter when he was sober, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he became an unbelievable evangelist for Jesus Christ. And he often told of all the events that happened in his life leading up to his conversion and how that God had superintended all that to keep him from being killed or destroyed. Knife fights, all kinds of dangerous situations, and God just steered him all through that to bring him unto himself. God strengthens us without, and when we become a child of His, He strengthens us from, how? Within. And this is the great testimony of the Scriptures, and I hope it will be an encouragement to you, no matter what you're struggling with or going through. If you're His child, you have the promise of His strength, both without and within. May God help us to learn to rest in Him.